Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing to teach on financial stewardship. This is the end of my third week of teaching on that, and we have already covered a lot of really important things. This week, I'm trying to emphasize that prosperity isn't selfish, or prosperity really isn't for you. And this is just, strange to the max to a lot of people, because the way that prosperity is often presented is you give something and then God gives back to you and you can get all of these things. You know, again, I'm not against any individual, but I have just seen abuses in this, as I'm sure you have. There was a guy that went to jail because he was taking ministry money and building an air-conditioned doghouse for his pooch. And, a $5,000-something doghouse. I heard one woman preaching on prosperity, and she was talking about how she was believing for, I think it was a $15,000 dollhouse for her granddaughter, and she was using that as an example of prosperity. And you know what? Again, it depends on how much seed you've got planted, et cetera, and stuff. But to teach people that the reason God wants you to prosper so that you can build a $5,000 doghouse or a $15,000 dollhouse is just wrong. That's not what prosperity is all about. And this turns a lot of people off. There's a lot of people that understand some of the principles, like in 1 Timothy chapter 6, where those that will be rich pierce themselves through with many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and in perdition. And they see that the love of money, 1 Timothy chapter 6, is the root of all evil. And so because of those truths, they hear people presenting that you give this and you get back this, and it's all about you getting. You get all you can all you get, and then you just sit on your can. And that's what a lot of people think prosperity is all about. And that's an immediate turnoff to people. I'm trying to say that true biblical prosperity isn't about you. It's not about you getting your needs met. It's about you being a blessing. You define prosperity in how much you are blessing other people, not how much stuff that you've got. And if that is truly what prosperity is about, and I'm going to be sharing some scriptures today with you about that, but if that's truly what it's about, well, then the person who is saying something, like I've had this said to me before, that, you know, I don't have a lot of stuff. I don't have a very nice house. I don't have the newest car. I don't have all of these things, but I've got enough, and I just wouldn't believe God for any more. I think that this whole thing of believing God for increase is just selfish. I've had people say that to me before. Did you know what that is? That is selfish. That is a person thinking that prosperity is all about your needs. And so once you get a house that's sufficient, once you get a car, once you have your needs met, forget the rest of the world, and you aren't going to believe God for anything else because you think prosperity is all about you getting your needs met. But prosperity empowers you to be able to bless other people. You know, right now, we're on television around the world. There's over 3 billion people on this planet that can watch this program that you're watching today. And it costs a lot of money to be able to do that. I have to pay out over $1 million a month in just television airtime. And then all of the materials and the staff, it's about $2 million a month it takes us to do what we're doing right this moment. Do you know what? I couldn't do that. I couldn't be blessing people. I couldn't be touching people's lives if I wasn't blessed, if I wasn't prosperous. But I'm not using this to build my own kingdom. And, you know, I hesitate to even say these things because people think I'm trying to promote myself. That's not what I'm doing, but I'm trying to illustrate that what I'm saying is true. I'm not hypocritical in this. I live in a house that I've lived in for 23 years. I bought it for $60,000. It's probably worth twice that when I got it, but nonetheless, I don't live in a fancy house. Many of the people that work for me live in a nicer house than I do. There are many people that work for me that drive nicer cars than I do. I don't care about that. That's fine. I am not using this prosperity to just get me all of this stuff. I drive a Jeep. Amen. I drive a detonator yellow Rubicon Jeep because it's got a winch on the front and I use it to go four-wheeling, and that's what I like. I am not using these resources to just pile up stuff for me. I am using prosperity to bless other people. And the people who say, I've got enough and I just don't want any more, that is a selfish attitude. Man, if you've got enough, if you don't need any more, you need to get hold of these truths I'm teaching about prosperity and begin to start sowing and giving, and then take the increase and give it to me to help me reach further with the gospel and to touch more people. Amen. But see, there's a lot of people that just reject teaching on prosperity because they think it's selfish, motivated, and sad to say, the way that it's presented by some ministers, it is selfish. And it is all about you just getting more. And if your motive is that, well then according to 1 Corinthians 13:3, it profits you nothing. If you give with the wrong motive, then you aren't going to see God's supernatural prosperity come. You've got to have the right attitude, a humble heart, to where you're wanting to bless other people. And as you do that, God will bless you. Here's another verse that goes along with the same thing. Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 28 it says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Boy, there's a lot in that verse. It says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather. In other words, he's contrasting stealing with working, laboring. Man, I could say a lot of things right here. I know that there are probably exceptions to everything, but as a general rule, people who are just on welfare, it's like stealing. Now, there may be an exception where for a brief period of time, anybody could use help. If you're handicapped, I'd tell you to get healed, but until you do get healed, you've got to live. And there may be some situations, but there are people living on second, third generation welfare that they just think everybody owes them something. You're stealing. Man, the Scripture says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, if you don't work, don't eat. And there's some people think, well, I could go get a job at McDonald's, but welfare pays me more. But the difference is you're stealing if you're just on welfare. Go get a job at McDonald's. Set your hand unto something and let God bless it. God can multiply it. If it's 100 times 1 is 100, but 100 times 0 is 0. You need to do something. This is talking about laboring. And notice, here's the reason I read this verse. You labor, working with your hands, the thing which is good. And here's the reason, that you may have to give to him that needs. This verse says the reason you work is so that you will have finances, resources, to be able to bless other people who are in need. There's not one out of 1,000 people. There's not one out of 1,000 Christians who works for this reason. Most people work to meet your needs, so that you can pay your house payment or rent, your car payment, so that you can pay insurance, so that you can get clothes and food and do things. That's why most people work. If you were setting out a budget, most people would list what your payments are, your house payment, car payment, insurance, whatever it is that you've got, you would list this. And many Christians wouldn't even put their giving into the budget. But if they did, it would probably be at the end, after all of these other things. According to the Scripture, we need to give the first fruits to God. Your giving ought to be the primary thing. This verse says the reason you work is so that you can have to give to him that needs. And I've already dealt with this last week, but there are some people I know that watch New every day, and some of you are thinking, oh yeah, and if I did that, who would take care of me? God. Amen. God promised that when you put first the kingdom of God, He will add to you these other things. I know that there's people that this just goes right over your head, and this is hard for the natural man. Matter of fact, it's impossible for just you with your natural mind to understand what I'm saying. But you can literally get to where you live to give. to where you put God's kingdom first, to where you labor working with your hands so that you can have to give to him that needs. You can get to where you live this way, and it's all about you giving. The reason you want to prosper and the reason you want more isn't just so that you can trade in what you've got for a bigger, newer model, the fanciest, the newest, whatever. But you give and want to prosper so that you can be a bigger giver. You know, it could be that you sit down and figure out your budget and you say, last year we gave $7,000 and this year I want to give $10,000. And so for me to give $10,000, if that's a tithe, then that means that I've got to have a $100,000 income. Or if you want to give $15,000, God, I want a $150,000 income because here's what I want to give. And I know some of you, this just sounds like I'm, you know, like, where did you come from? The Word. Amen. Meditating in the Word. This is what my wife and I do. My wife and I, we sit down and we determine how much we want to give. And that determines how much we receive is our giving. We give. And giving is the focus of our life. Jamie and I were sitting down just talking the other day about what a blessing it is to be able to give up to 80% of our income and minister to people. Boy, what a blessing that is. We have believed for this and longed for it for a long time. And we didn't start there, but we've always given. And as we've been faithful giving, God has increased us. And now we're able to give huge amounts of money away and bless other people, do things, help them. That's what it's all about. This scripture, the one I used on yesterday's program, Deuteronomy 8:18, it's God who gives you power to get wealth so that he might establish his covenant. The reason God prospers you is to establish his covenant, not to build your kingdom, but to enable you to build his kingdom. You put that together with this verse, and it says that the reason you labor working with your hands is so that you can have to give to him that needs. Then you put that together with 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And it says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. The reason God causes this grace to abound so that you have all of this sufficiency is so that you can abound unto every good work. You ought to define your prosperity, not by how much you keep and how much you spent and all of the assets, but you ought to define prosperity by how much you give. You know, there are a lot of people that on paper, they look very wealthy. And they've got this house and they got all of the fancy things and they've got investments and they got money in the stock market, but everything's tied up. And I've had lots of quote unquote wealthy people come to me and say, well, man, I want to give, and you know, but I've got all of my assets are tied up. And someday when I get free and get everything liquid, I'll be able to give to you. You know what? That's not a prosperous person. I can guarantee you that I'm not saying these things to pat myself on the back, but I'm trying to get my point across that I am giving more money and blessing more people than people who are millionaires and have all of this quote unquote assets, and the world would look at them and consider them to be prosperous people. And yet I guarantee you, if you aren't giving, you aren't prosperous. If you're using it all for yourself, you aren't prosperous. You know, in the 39th chapter of the book of Genesis, I believe it's around verse 2, it was talking about Joseph. He was sold into slavery. And here he was, a slave. And the way that they sold slaves, they stripped you naked. You were standing up there without a stitch on so that the buyer could see the merchandise and see what he was getting. So here's Joseph standing on an auction block, stripped naked, nothing on. And the Bible says he was a very prosperous man because God was with him. What is prosperity? It's not measured in all of your assets. Joseph was stripped naked and a slave, but you know what? God was with him. And because of that, Joseph was a blessing. He went into Potiphar's house, and here was the man who had on the fancy clothes and all of the jewelry and gold, and he had all of these assets. And yet God blessed Potiphar for Joseph. Joseph was a giver. Man, he gave his best. He served. He took this anointing and this blessing that was on his life, and Potiphar began to prosper because Joseph was there. And then Potiphar's wife lied against Joseph and got him put into prison. And yet here was Joseph, a very prosperous man, is what it says in Genesis chapter 39. God was with him. And the keeper of the prison began to prosper so much he didn't even have to come to work. He didn't even know what was happening. He turned his whole prison over to Joseph and let Joseph run it. And all of the people in there were blessed. And then Joseph came to the throne and he became the second most important man in Egypt. And yet, did you know that he was blessing other people? Pharaoh began to prosper. Egypt began to prosper. Egypt was, they became rich and wealthy, and all of the other nations began to come and do all of these things because one man put God first. He prospered every life that he came in contact with. He was a blessing. He helped other people. And eventually, Joseph himself became super rich and blessed and prosperous. But it was never about him. When he had nothing, when he was a slave on the auction block, humiliated, God was with him. And Joseph was faithful. It was always about giving. It was always about other people. If you can get that attitude and recognize that the reason God wants to prosper you is not just so that you can have things, but so that you can be a blessing to other people. And then if you not only get that as a concept, but you start acting it out and you start proving it, and you take a portion. The Lord said to take 10%. And actually, I think it's more than 10% because there's offerings above the tithe. But if you just take a portion of what God gives you, and if you start putting God first and give to Him off of the top, not off of the bottom, if anything gets cut back, like I read a survey from Barna, and during the recession that hit the world at the end of 2008 and then 2009, Barna did a survey, and among Christians, I forgot, but there was like 25% of Christians that the first thing they did was cut out all of their giving. And then there was another 25, 30, 40% that cut down and decreased their giving, and that's the way that they were coping with the decreased income. That is the absolute worst thing that you could do. Now, what that says is that you think prosperity and all of this money that's coming is for you to satisfy all of your needs and all of your desires, and only after you are taken care of do you put God first. That's not putting God first at all. Man, the worst thing you could do is in a financial situation cut out your giving and start putting yourself first instead of putting God first. That's the worst thing that you could do. Man, during a hard time, you ought to increase your giving. You ought to sow more. In Genesis chapter 26, it says that Isaac sowed in a year of famine. Other people had deserted the land and everybody had gone to Egypt because they had the Nile River and irrigation, and because of it, there was food and there was still prosperity, and everybody just forsook the land of Canaan because there was this drought that was on. But Isaac stayed. He didn't own any of the land. You know what he did? He sowed in the field of other people who had left and gone the world's route trying to deal with the hardship. And he sowed his crops in other people's field in a year of famine and received a hundredfold return. Did you know a hundredfold return would be good in a year of prosperity, in a year of abundance? But in a year of famine, it was just unbelievable. And everybody else had already vacated. So the people that were left, it was like Isaac was the only one that had any crops. And so he not only had his needs met, but he was able to sell his increase for a premium. He got rich off of it. He became so wealthy that Abimelech, the king of Gerar, came out and said, "Depart, you are mightier than our entire nation. Your single income is greater than the gross domestic product of an entire nation." You know how that happened? Because this man was planting seed and giving at a time that everybody else was holding back and hoarding and thinking poverty. I'm telling you, you've got to recognize that the reason God wants to bless you is to be a blessing. And if you come into a tight situation, if you come through a recession, cut back on some of your personal things, but never cut back on what you're doing for God. If God can get it through you, He will get it to you. God will prosper you and blessings will flow your way if you live to give. Or as these verses I've already used say, you prosper so that you might establish His covenant on the earth. Deuteronomy 8:18. Ephesians 4:28, you labor working with your hands so that you can have to give to him that needs. Not so that you can meet your needs, but so that you can have to give to other people that need. Or 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, you have God make all grace abound towards you, and you always have all sufficiency in all things. For what purpose? That you may abound unto every good work. That's talking about blessing other people. You know, if you're in a church that's having a building program, and if you're saying, man, I'd like to give, but I just don't have anything, you know what? You aren't prosperous. You could use 2 Corinthians 9:8 as a definition of what prosperity is. Prosperity is having enough so that you can abound unto every good work. If you see somebody doing something for the Lord, if you would like to help them, and you would like to be a blessing, and you would like to do all of these things, but if you can't do it, you aren't prosperous. Prosperity is having such a supply that you're able to abound unto every good work. Prosperity isn't determined by the size of your house, by the car that you drive, by all of your gadgets that you have, by your jewelry, by how fancy your suit is. Prosperity is not defined by the things that you keep for yourself, but rather it's defined by how much you give. Boy, that's powerful. And that is a totally different definition than what most people are operating under. Most people, it's all about what you have. And most people think that they're prosperous because they've got all of these things. Prosperity isn't that. Joseph didn't have a thing when he was standing on the auction block, and yet Genesis 39 says he was a very prosperous man. You know why? Because God was with him. And the anointing of God was on him. And it was just a matter of time until money began to come his way. When he was working in Potiphar's house, money came to Potiphar, but it was Joseph that was bringing it. When he was in the prison, prosperity began to come to that prison. People were happy and rejoicing, even in prison. And it was just a short period of time until he was second in command over the mightiest nation on the face of the earth. And prosperity came to them like it had never come before. All through one man who started with nothing. He was prosperous when he didn't have a single asset. He had the favor of God. I'm telling you, prosperity is God's favor, God's blessing on you. And for what purpose? So that you can establish His covenant, so that you can give to those that are in need, so that you can abound unto every good work. It's not about you. And if you would get that attitude, you know what would happen? You would have the joy of knowing what it's like. It's more blessed to give than to receive. But when you do that, God's never going to let you outgive Him. If you start giving like that, God will take care of you and you won't be able to get away from it. All of these blessings will come upon you and overtake you, and you will have bigger, better everything than you ever had before once you start putting first the kingdom of God. Boy, those are powerful truths. That is absolutely true. Amen. You know, I'm out of time today, but I am going to continue this teaching next week. I think we're going to go on to... Well, we'll continue this into our Monday's broadcast. But anyway, I do have these other materials that are available. I encourage you to get our CDs or DVDs. Be sure and listen to our announcer and then call or write today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Financial Stewardship is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is also available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD titled Prosperity Isn't Selfish, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website, where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I have never had such good teaching, and I have been to Bible schools, Bible colleges. I graduated from a Christian high school. Nobody teaches like these here. You know why? Because they teach you to know Jesus.
Charis Bible College has been making disciples and changing lives since 1994, and we've outgrown our Colorado Springs facility. Phase one of our new Woodland Park CBC campus has been fully funded and completed, and phase two of the project is gearing up right now. Andrew and Jamie would like to give you the opportunity to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp May 27th through the 30th and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for a Better Way to Worship Conference June 15th through the 17th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference July 4th through the 8th and in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 4th through the 6th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on July the 4th through the 8th for our Summer Family Bible Conference right here in Colorado Springs. And it goes through Monday night through Friday night, July the 4th through the 8th. We have children's ministry. We will have 3 hours worth of classes in our Charis Bible College in the mornings on Tuesday through Friday. And it's just going to be a great time for the entire family. It's a great time to be in Colorado in the summer. You'd love it. So it's going to be Monday through Friday, July the 4th through the 8th, the Summer Family Bible Conference right here in Colorado Springs.